The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Father, thank you for your word. Please teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us tonight. Father, I ask this according unto thy will. In the blessed Lord Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Verse 1. The Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So, what is the Lord's? What does this verse say is the Lord's? Number one, the earth. The earth is the Lord's. Go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Genesis 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Okay, what's the Lord's? The earth. And notice what else is the Lord's? The fullness of the earth. The fullness of the earth. Genesis 1 verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Go to verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth upon, that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply on the earth. And the evening morning was the fifth day, and God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. And the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So the earth is the Lord's. The fullness of the earth is the Lord's. What else does this verse in Psalm say is the Lord's? The world. Notice they're distinct. They're distinct from one another. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell in them. So the earth and the world, though they sometimes are used interchangeably, that they're different. While the earth appears to speak of the physical substance of the planet, the world speaks of the entire entity and its makeup. Atmosphere, land, water, the entire system. Put it this way, we shovel earth, not world. Think about it. You don't fill up a hole with world. You fill up a hole with some earth. Okay, you shovel earth and move it around. You don't shovel world and move it around. You sometimes use them interchangeably. But when you speak of earth, mainly that speaks of the physical substance that makes it up. World speaks of everything. It encompasses the earth, its forces, its powers, everything seen and unseen. It encompasses all of it. All right? And they that dwell therein. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You say, preacher, what about 2 Corinthians 4? We'll go there a minute. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. You say, well, Brother Dawson, the Bible says the devil's the God of this world, yet Psalm 4 says the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Exactly. There's no contradiction here. This reaffirms the Lord's authority, for Satan is allowed that power only by the Lord's permission and regulation. Yes, he's the God of this world because the Lord allows him to be that. And God sets limits on him about how far he can go. In the book of Job, what happens? The Lord points out Job to Satan and he says, well, you know, you put a hedge about him and everything, but you touch what he's got. Okay, the Lord says, okay, you got it, but you can't touch his life. Can't touch him yet. And then chapter 2, Lord says, see, he still maintains his integrity. Well, you touch his body. Lord says, okay, you can touch him, but you can't kill him. Wow. So the devil as the god of this world, look what he's able to do in Job chapter 1. He's able to stir up tribes to come against Job. Wow. Listen, those Sabaeans and Chaldeans, they got up one morning, their leader got up one morning and just like, well, why did I never think of that before? There's Job sitting there with all that stuff. God didn't allow it to happen before. God didn't allow it. But now God's allowing the devil to do this. And so he plants that bug in the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans here. And boy, they come against Job and make out. That whirlwind comes, you know. And the devil is able to influence the realm of nations and armies and in the realm of nature also. Sure, he's got power. But only as far as God allows it. And the devil is able to smite with sickness. He's given a free hand there, and he smites Job with boils, top of his head, bottom of his feet. Why don't you, have you ever read in your Bible that woman over there that was bowed together? Jesus said Satan had bound her 18 years. 18 years she'd been bound up like that by the devil. Is all sickness of the devil? No, but some is. Some is. Is all emotional and mental illnesses of the devil? No, but a lot is. Is all lunacy of the devil? No, but a lot is. So there's a lot of things that he has his hand in that has a spiritual source to it. That's why a lot of problems out there that doctors run into, I really believe a lot of it's because the reason they can't make any headway with it, it's because the source is something spiritual there. So the devil, he's the god of this world, but as the Lord allows it to be. Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. As god of this world, well, go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and look here real quick at verse number 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Notice what he's called. As the god of this world, that entails the air also. And he's the prince of the power of the air. So, you know, the airwaves, and we're not saying the electricity is evil. They're not saying, but I'm telling you, there's a connection there with some kind of things. He's the prince of the power of the air. And, you know, the airwaves and the disc. And I'll tell you this. You can't deny that when anything gets electrified, the potential for danger increases. A power tool is more dangerous than a regular hand tool. Power, electricity, increases the danger. It doesn't make it necessarily evil. It increases the danger. Brethren, a guitar is one thing. Electric guitar boosted up to another level. I didn't say that. I'm just saying, boy, puts that thing up there to another level with something. You know what I'm saying? In the sense of it's kind of like there's one sound a guitar makes, but that electric guitar, I'm not saying necessarily, just like a power saw. Okay? Done wrong, power saw. But boy, the potential for danger is a lot increased with that thing. And look, brethren, I'm not saying that people in the past couldn't write letters and push some shenanigans. Of course they could. But son, with text and email and Twitter and this and that and the other, the potential for damage is a lot more increased and a lot quicker. Something about that thing, man. Anytime you power up with something, boy, you increase the potential for danger and you need to be careful. Whether it's a tool, whether it's an instrument, whether it's something that you communicate with, anytime you power it up, there is more potential for danger and you need to be more careful. Now, that's just the truth. That's just the truth. All right, look here. Notice it says here, the world and they that dwell therein, that's the inhabitants of the world, cities, nations, etc. Go to Luke 12. Luke 12. Luke 12. You know, you wish so bad you could get folks to really see and get a hold of that. But to get folks to really take that serious, the potential for danger when things are powered up, when they get electrified, again, we're not saying that it's that you just automatically throw it out the window, but you've got to understand the dangers. Got to understand the potential for danger with that. Man, it's just It just increases so much. And if you don't understand that, if you don't take that into account, if you don't watch yourself, it's headed for destruction. Luke 12, look at verse 30. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. So again, the earth and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Nations, cities such as that. Real quick, go to 1 Corinthians 10 if you would. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Young girls here in the church, young boys here in the church. If you're just biding your time, looking and waiting, the devil will provide what you're looking for. Just as certain as God will provide, the devil will provide. And if you're looking for an opportunity, or looking for the just first opportunity, for some fella to sweep you off your feet, or some girl to get your fancy, the devil will provide the one for it. And if you do come out the other side, you ain't going to come out it without some scars. If you do come out, it won't be without some scars. I'll tell you that. Make sure you're wanting what God wants. Make sure you're wanting the things, what's honoring to God, and what God wants. I want to ask you a blunt question. Do you want to be noticed? Do you want to be noticed? Do you want people to find you attractive, handsome? Do you want them to be noticing you, looking at you? If you do, it's normal. It's a normal carnal thing. According to the flesh, it's a normal kind of thing. All right? But it's a deadly thing. It's a deadly thing. You've got to ask yourself that question. You have got to ask yourself that question. Are you wanting that? Be brutally honest with yourself. God knows it. And you'll find it. But what will get built upon, like I said, if you do make it out the other side, you're not going to make it out without some scars. That's just all there is to it. And if that's what you're wanting, the devil knows how to provide it. I'm serious. So be careful. I hope that forewarned is forearmed. Look here. 1 Corinthians 10, look at verse 25. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 25. Verse 25. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The reason I brought that up is, notice that Paul quotes this in establishing a New Testament principle. He quotes this in establishing a New Testament principle. Go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen, brethren, the early church, what do you think? What did they have? They had the Old Testament. They had the Old Testament. That's what they were using. They were just now, by the Holy Ghost, by the new birth, they were able to understand the Old Testament in the light of the new covenant. All right? But that's what they had. And so, y'all look here, to without having the Old Testament and spending time also in it, you're not going to have a full picture that you need to have. Because that's what they had and that's what they were using. Constantly, and again, you'll see Paul quoting the Old Testament and establishing a principles interpreted under the new covenant by the Lord Jesus Christ. But go back real quick, go back to Psalm chapter 24, and we'll look at this. It says in verse number 1, Psalm 24, 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Look at verse 2, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Wow. I said founded. What does the word founded mean? In the dictionary, it means begun and built. What does the word established mean? It means set or fixed firmly. So what is he founded upon? The seas. What has he established it upon? The floods. So what's been established upon seas and floods? The earth and the world. Go to 136. 136. Psalm 136. Psalm 136. Psalm 136, verse 6. Psalm 136 and verse 6. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. That's exactly what he did. He stretched out the earth above the waters. Did you know that the universe, according to the Bible, is elastic and it can be molded, it can be stretched and pulled and folded? Because that's what the Bible says. More than one occasion, the Bible says, he stretched out the heavens and he stretched out the earth and he's going to fold them up again one time. It's amazing. It's glorious. It's wonderful. And it's true. It's exactly how it is. It has a flexibility to it that you and I can't understand, but the Bible on more than one occasion, and it's not poetic language. It is used on more than one occasion as simply how God did it. He stretched out the heavens. He stretched the earth above the waters. Look, and when you see that, and I illustrated it Sunday with what Ethan brought in, but where's somebody give me a piece of material or something. I mean, a towel, something. Yeah, it'll work. That'll be fun. Thank you, honey. And y'all see me talk about this before. All right? So the heavens are there, and God stretched them out. One day he's going to fold them up. I mean, the heavens out there. All right? Now look at this. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that when the Lord came down to meet with David, and when the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, David speaks of the Lord bowing the heavens and coming down. Because when the Lord came down on Mount Sinai, they saw a throne. And they saw under his feet like it were a sapphire. Well, that's the Lord's throne. But they're on Mount Sinai. The Bible speaks of God bowing the heavens and coming down. Well, those heavens are like material. The Bible says he stretched them out. He's going to fold them up. And it's like, you know what? Scientists who even don't even believe the Bible, when they illustrate this, it's called the space-time continuum. And they show a dimple in the fabric. When they want to show how time warps and everything, right? They show, it's like a fabric with a dimple in it. And that's how they show about time warping and such as that. The space-time continuum. God is outside the realm of space and time. He inhabits eternity. Don't even try to wrap your mind about it. We are finite beings. We think of something beginning and ending. Infinity just blows our mind. I remember the night I got saved, coming back home and laying down in bed, trying to wrap my mind around the fact I will never die. That I'm going to live forever. And I tried to wrap my mind that night laying in bed. I was like, I can't get this. I enjoyed it. It was great. But I was like, I'm going to live forever. That's ever and ever and ever and ever. It blew my mind. And so, look, what I'm saying is, even scientists who don't even believe the Bible, still, they are tied in. They have to illustrate it like fabric, like a flowing kind of like a blanket or something, and a dimple in that thing. The Bible says God bowed the heavens and came down. God is able to manipulate time. God is able to manipulate the universe. It's no problem. He stretched them out. He stretched out the earth. Take your Bible. Take your Bible. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Verse 5. Isaiah 42, verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. More than one occasion you see that he stretched out the heavens. Stretched them out. The earth and the heavens. Okay? Well, wherefore? Wherefore? Why did he do all this? To be filled. Why did he establish the earth? Why did he establish the world? To be filled. Go to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verse 18. Isaiah 45, verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I'm the Lord and there is none else. Why did he form it? To be inhabited. By the way, I want to run just a quick side trail here real quick. Notice what it says. Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. Did you see that? Plural. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. See, listen, brethren. If any of you have ever heard of like the gap theory, it's not true. It's not true. It is not true. There is no gap between Genesis 1 verse 1 and 1 verse 2. It don't exist. It's a man-made theory that cannot and will not stand under scrutinization. It's not there. All right? But one of the things that people who take in the gap theory like to say is, they like to say that, okay, in the beginning, God created, you know, the heaven and the earth, like it says, verse 1, the heaven and the earth. But then later on, okay, he made other things. He made the Bible speaks here. Look, the Bible speaks not just in Genesis 1, verse 1, God created the heaven and the earth. It says also he created the heavens, which happened later on in the creation week. What I'm saying to you is this here, brethren. It all took place that week. It all took place in that week. Now, those who try to say in Genesis 1 verse 1 that they try to apply 2 Peter to that, on that first day, he just created heaven. It's not till later on in that week that he made the different heavens. The Bible speaks of three heavens. There's the third heaven in the book of 2 Corinthians 12. That's where the Lord's throne is at. The second heaven is the realm of the stars in the universe. The first heaven is there, like where the birds fly, the atmosphere there. The Bible speaks of three heavens. And they're made during that creation week. And he created those heavens during that week. And we don't have time to get into all of it right now. But brethren, that gap theory stuff, it don't line up to Scripture. It doesn't. And may I say this, that anybody just reading their Bible would have never come up with that stuff anyway. Really. It's one of those things that people get taught and try to read into their Bible. Because you ain't going to get that just reading your Bible because it's not there. Now, but the thing of it is, Isaiah 45, what does it say in verse number 20? Go back to Psalm 24 is what I'm saying. The Lord created these to be inhabited. To be inhabited. All right? Go to Revelation 4. Revelation 4. And we're getting somewhere with this. Revelation 4, verse 11. Look here. Teach your children what God did. Teach them what the Lord did. And tell them that God created all things. Tell them why he created all things. Tell them why they were created according to the Bible. Teach them these things so that they know it and have it down. Because the world is going to try to slip in evolutionary lies to them. And it'll come in subtly. And it comes in kind of just taken for granted. You know, when we were up there visiting my parents, you know, this past week. We went up on top. We just took a day and went on the mountain there. And it was a beautiful view, right? And one of the plaques, I believe, there talked about how this formation was made 5 million years ago. It's just sad. Because it was not 5 million years. This earth is roughly about 6,000 years old. It was not millions and millions of years. It's just not. But you know what? It gets stated so casually and so just matter-of-factly. It's like, well, yeah, it's just kind of... So what happens is so many kids are like, well, I believe my mom and dad, and I believe my church, but yet I'm told this. And so they're like, okay, I know. God did it. And he just did it by evolution. Wrong. Look, if you believe that, somebody that believes the Bible ain't going to respect you, and an evolutionist ain't going to respect you neither. Because that's trying to tread, it don't work. You cannot, listen, theistic evolution does not work. You can't believe the Bible and believe in any manner of evolution. That's not how God did it. It just plainly, there it is. Y'all look. The Lord is looking for that individual who's willing to step out and trust Him and His Word in the light of all that the world will throw at him. Now you'll never be the loser in eternity for standing with God and His Word, but it will cost you in this life. You better be ready to have your reputation assailed. You better be ready to have family and friends shake their head and go, I'm worried about you. Now I'm glad that you're going to church. I'm glad you're getting spiritual. Man, I'm glad you're getting spiritual in your life. That's good. But now you could take things too far. And you know the Bible was not meant to be literally taken like that. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Because the God, one of the gods of this world, even among many believers, is higher education that is not founded upon the Bible. It just is. Just is. And people who mean well, parents, friends, family, they'll look at you and like, I'm a little concerned now. I mean, if you teach your children that, how are they going to handle it out there? They'll be made fun of. They'll be mocked. There's always been a cost to standing for truth. Amen. That's supposed to mean something. We're supposed to bring up our children, warn them to stand and understand there will be a cost for that. But I'm telling you, it'll happen. And it'll happen from other professing Christians. They will. Who are not willing to believe. Listen, God is looking for that person. Listen, you had to step out on a limb to come to Christ. You did. And then as you grow, the Lord's looking for that individual. Who's going to take my word? Who will trust me when my word goes that far out? Who'll trust me and say, God, I believe you. God's always looking for men like that. Lord told Abraham, man, about 100 years old, his wife's 90. Abraham, see those stars? Yes, Lord. I'm going to multiply your seed like those stars. Oh, Lord, I believe you. Abraham, you believe that? Lord, you said it. I believe you. Abraham, you're not even going to consider your old age, Abraham? You're not going to consider your wife? She's 90 years old. Lord, I'm just going to consider you. You said it. I believe it. Abraham, I'm going to count that to you for righteousness. You going that far out, Abraham? Yes, Lord, you said it. Well, all right. Noah? Yes, Lord. I'm tired of this mess. I'm going to give him 120 years. Build a boat. I'm going to send a flood. I'm going to send rain down from above. I believe you, Lord. I'll start doing it. Noah, you're going to build dry land, Noah. Noah, there's never rained before, Noah. The people will think you're crazy. Lord, you said it. I'm going to do it. I trust you. I know it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you, Lord. What it cost me not to believe you, though? What's it cost me not believing you? Lord, I'm going to, you know. Brother, the Lord's looking for that individual that will believe His word. That'll take and say, Lord, you said it. I trust you. I trust you. But there's going to be a cost to it. Always. Look here. Take your Bible real quick. Revelation 4, look at verse 11. Teach your children. Let them know that there will be a cost. Revelation 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. And for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Brethren, look here. Think about it. For whose pleasure? The Lord's. Did you know, I've told you before, there are fish in the sea that are beautiful. Nobody ever hardly sees them. Why did God make a fish that's all colorful and hardly anybody ever sees it? It wasn't made for man's pleasure. It was made for the Lord's. Why would God have a flower on the top of the backside of a mountain somewhere that nobody ever gets to? It's for His pleasure. You know what you were created? For the Lord's pleasure. And as long as you or I try to please ourselves, you will never, ever find fulfillment. Can't be done. Because that's not your purpose. That's not what you were created for. As long as you try to put self first, and I don't care if you even throw God in there. I don't care if you even try to make a place for God, you're missing it. God is first, and then everything else finds its place. I was talking to my sister on the phone about that very concept today. Just some things we were talking about. I said, Deborah, if God is always first, you'll be able to do your husband right, your parents right, everything. You'll be doing to do everybody right when God's first, but only until then. When you seek to please yourself and just find a little place for God, If you think God's going to smile on that, you got another thing coming. He is not going to smile on that and go, thank you. Wow. You thought of me. No, sir. Wrong answer. Your purpose is to give pleasure to Him. And in doing that, everything else finds its proper place and its proper niche. You understand? And until you do that, you will constantly run into frustration. Nothing, nothing, nothing will satisfy you. You can't. Some of you fellas here, just graduating. Some of you girls here, just graduated. So things are transitioning now. It's different now. I'm going to tell you right now, if you seek just to satisfy you, it's not going to work. No job, no career, no man, no woman, no child, no house, no car, no job. And some of those are good. Most of those things are good things. But they cannot, they will not satisfy the longing you have. They won't do it. Only Christ can. Only putting God first can satisfy you. Then, once you do that, that wife can be a blessing. That husband can be a blessing. Those children can be a blessing. That job, then those things can be blessings. Once the Lord is first. But outside of that, it don't work. It don't fit. It just don't. Okay, look here. That's the reason you were created, to give pleasure to God. So who are you trying to please? I'm just being honest. Because I care about you. And if you're trying to please yourself, you can't. You can't. It won't happen. You'll just end up frustrated. You'll end up so frustrated. Oh, if I could get that woman, if I could get that man, if I could get that house, if I could get, I'll be satisfied. The heart of man is never satisfied until satisfied in Christ. Until satisfied in God, the heart of man is never satisfied. That's why merchandisers make money. They make money because they figured they stumbled upon a Bible truth accidentally. People are never satisfied. They stumbled upon it. People in life stumble upon truth. They really do. They kind of stumble accidentally. They stumbled upon a truth by observation. They observed and said, you know what? People are never satisfied. Never. You give them something, you come out with a new model, they got to have that. And so, you know what? We can handle this. And they just make a killing off the fact that men are never satisfied. Brother, have you ever in your life, and you've not, I know you have, you've never seen the likes like today with the different types of everything. You know, it used to be, you know, Coke, Pepsi, Mountain Dew. You can't even figure that thing out now, man. I mean, seriously. I mean, do you want ice cream? Do you want hand churned? Do you want low fat? Do you want cereal? Oh, do we have cereal? You could have a whole grocery store of cereal. I really believe if you wanted to, you just about could. It's unbelievable. We're not talking about, you know, hey, you know what? You remember sometimes, you know, the yellow box? You know what I'm saying? The yellow box, bud. That's when times is tight. And you got the yellow box. And it's Cheerios and Rice Krispies, buddy. You know? But now, do you want them with peanut butter? Do you want them with chocolate? Do you want them with this? Do you want them with some granola put in? Do you want them with this? Right? I mean, you can stand there going, my head hurts. Honey, I'll catch up with you. I'm just trying to figure this cereal out. I just can't. It's unbelievable. Why? Because people are never satisfied. Y'all listen. You can't be satisfied until you're fulfilled in Jesus Christ and you're trying to please God. Only when you try to please God first can you fulfill the very purpose you were created for. Now, watch this. Watch this. Go back to Genesis 1 a minute. The Lord founded the earth, founded the world. But watch this. Genesis 1, real quick. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, real quick, let me throw this in. Your gap theorist will tell you, see, something happened. Brethren, just real quick, your Bible does not say, and the earth became without form and without and void. It doesn't say that. It said it was. It didn't say it became that. God, if God had his purposes for starting it out in that kind of a way, the Bible does not hint at something happened there. All right. But the point we want to make this afternoon, this evening, is this. When God created the heaven and the earth, its condition, there was a threefold condition it was in. It was without form, it was void, and it was in darkness. Three conditions. And listen, God is going to remedy every one of those three conditions. And did you know those are the three conditions that need to be remedied in every individual? Those are the three conditions that need to be remedied in every individual. Look what it says. Look at the condition. Without form. So it was out. It didn't have no order. No shape to it. It was void. That means it was empty. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Okay. Now, so this is the condition of all until the Lord, his word, and his spirit starts to move in our lives. But notice what the first condition remedied was. That of darkness. What's the first condition God took care of? What's the first thing that needed remedying? Darkness. Darkness. Light was needed. You know, a lot of times people say, now the three things you need for survival. Let me tell you something. The first thing you need is light. Not water, not food, not shelter, but light. You say, well, I disagree. Well, okay, you tell me something then. Tell me if it's nighttime and you can't see, how you going to get water? If it's nighttime and you can't see, how you going to get shelter? If it's nighttime and you can't see, how you going to... You need light. Understand? When you're in darkness, forget about water. You don't know where water's at. Water could be 5 feet from you and you never find it. You need light. When you're in darkness, you need light. Take your Bible, go to John 1. John 1. John chapter 1. Did you know something? If you don't have light, if you don't have light, then you might find something liquid and think it's water when it's not. See, if you don't get light, if you don't get God's light in Jesus Christ, you're liable to think that something is good for you when it's not good for you. And if you had some light, you'd find out that it wasn't good for you. Wouldn't it be bad if you didn't have no light and you said, wait a minute, jug, liquid, looks like a water can, it's gasoline. That's not good. Wouldn't be good. That's about like the fella, I don't know if y'all heard about this. I guess I was told it's true. You fella had his camper, right? And he comes out of his camper one morning, and he looks, and somebody had puked, man, all around his camper. And he's like, what in the world? Well, there was a siphon hose laying there. Somebody thought they were siphoning from the gas tank, and they got the wrong one and got the holding tank. Which, if true, you got what was coming to you. You got what was coming to you. But you know what? Once again, if you can't see, you might be thinking you're getting what you thought you wanted and you get something else. He thought he was siphoning gas. I guess he was. Just the wrong kind. Look here. What I'm telling you is, listen. Not good. Listen. Here's the thing about it, y'all. You need light or you'll think something is good and it's not. How many people today are grabbing for things that they think is good and will help me and they're grabbing wrong stuff? They need light. You need some light. Do you have light? Do you have light in your life? Listen, I remember when the lights got turned on for me. I remember when I came to God through Jesus Christ and the lights got turned on. And God imparted to me understanding that I didn't have before. It was spiritual light now and things I could understand. You remember when the lights came on? Look at John chapter 1. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, the Bible says here, the world said comprehended it not. Comprehended not. Verse number 5 said that, the darkness comprehended it not. You know what the word comprehend means? Means to understand, to hold or to contain in the mind. They didn't get it. And folks are still the same way today. They're still the same way. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Mom and dad, give your children that Bible. Talk to them of the Bible stories. Have a time to where you read the Bible together. Either each of you reading it silently, you reading aloud to them, but put the Word of God, put something there that the Holy Ghost can use and bear witness to. Put it there. Put it in there. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Just like God commanded light to shine out of darkness, God gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. How? In the face of Jesus Christ. You want light? You'll go to find it with Jesus Christ. Go to John 8. John 8. John chapter 8. Now, again, you young folks here that are, some of you just graduating, you know what you're going to start doing? You're going to start searching in this life. Because up to this point, your parents have determined a lot of things for you. But pretty soon, there's going to be more and more opportunities to where you're going to be out there putting those feelers out. If you don't have light, you're liable to lay hold of something and misidentify it. You're liable to think it's okay and it's good, but there you don't have any light on it. And it might not be what you thought. Make sure you've got light. Make sure you've got light. A lot of people are groping around and finding a mate or making decisions and making all kind of, and they think they're doing good, but they don't have any light. And they get some light and they say, well, this ain't a good thing. That's not a right thing. They need some light. Make sure you got light. John 8, look at verse 12. John 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You need light? Jesus Christ. And if you're in darkness, and we are, until we get born again, we're in darkness. Where's the light to be found at? Jesus Christ. If you come to God through Jesus Christ, Jesus said, you won't walk in darkness. And if you're not walking in darkness, you can make clear, concrete, right, good decisions because you got light. What was the second condition that got remedied? That of order, of bringing form to the earth. So the Bible says the earth was without form. What did God do? He brought form to it. He stretched out that earth, the waters, you know, he separated those waters and called the dry land to come forth. He gave order to the earth. Go to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. You know what somebody's life is like till they're saved? No order. It's just chaotic. Just chaotic. It's just there's no structure. There's no order. It's always running from this thing and running from that thing. This will make me happy. This will satisfy me. I'll try this. I'll try that. New job. New house. New this. New relationship. And then it works. Just chaotic. It's chaotic. Because, listen, and you know what? Their life is a lot of start and stop, start and stop. A lot of always unfinished things. Like, oh, you know what? Yeah, that I'm going to do that. I like that hobby or I like that thing. I'm going to do that. And you know what? I'll spend some money, you know, and then it's like, no, No, that'll do it. That'll make me happy. No. No, I want to do it. No. It's just a lot of unfinished, a life filled with a lot of unfinished things. Because they're searching for something that can never satisfy. And just chaotic, just disorder. 1 Peter 2, verse 25. For ye were a sheep going astray. That sheep, it's astray, it just don't know where it's going. But are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. See, when you come to the shepherd, he guides you. You now got the order and direction of the life. Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Until you get saved, you'll have any hope. There is. There is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. I mean, they're hopeless. No, no. Yes, they are. Until they come to Jesus Christ, it is hopeless. There is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. I mean, seriously. Says, well, no, there is none. There is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. Brethren, even if somebody straightens up their life a little bit, it doesn't do anything eternally. The only hope for here and eternity is in Jesus Christ. And what he does is he brings structure and order to a life. There's purpose. You know what? Listen. Tomorrow morning, most of this world's going to get up. Most of the folks in our time zone are going to get up. And they're going to go to work. All right? They're going to go to work or do what they do at the house. Or they're going to start. And so many of them is going to be like this. And they're just like going through the grind. If you're saved, you've got a purpose. Seriously. Nothing is haphazard with your life. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. You've got a purpose in your life now. And if you'll go and tomorrow do the best you can for Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to have a rotten day, just in front of you, see that boss. And your day's going to be pretty rotten. If you work for your boss, it ain't never going to work. But if you'll work for Jesus Christ, if you'll be the best you can for Jesus Christ. In other words, look here. Say, come on, Brother Dawes. How can I serve Jesus Christ on my job? Well, is there a certain way you're supposed to do your job? Well, yeah. You ever take shortcuts you're not supposed to take? You ever do things you shouldn't do? Ever do you think, well, do it right for Christ. Honor him with it. There's more at stake than just a paycheck for you if you're saved. It's a testimony. It's folks seeing Christ in your life. You've got a purpose. Most other people, they just get up, they're just going through the motions. You got a purpose. If you're saved, you do. You've got a purpose. Folks, get out of this nonsense of like, well, I mean, if a man's a pastor or ministering, there's a purpose. No, all believers. Come on, what are you talking about? All believers have a purpose. God's got a purpose in everything. You get up tomorrow and you do to the best of your ability for the glory of God. And the things that God allows, there's purpose behind that. Listen, the believer is more than conqueror. Okay? Do you know what? A lot of people go through things in life and they endure it and come out the other side. But for the believer, you're not just going through things. God is accomplishing things in your life. It's not just an empty process. If you love God, God is doing things that you can't see right now. But he's going to couple what's going on today with something else and make it for something good. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. Don't stop. God is going to couple this with this over here and make something good. All things work together for good to them that love God. Again, didn't say all things are good. It says all things work together for good. Isolated incidents don't seem good. But you're not looking at the whole picture that God's seeing. He's going to couple this with this and with this and with that and with... Brethren, look here. You know what? Probably most of us like routine. We like something that... I mean, I do. and we like things that are like, look, I know when I go in, this is going to be there, and this is going to be like this, and we like routine. We just like that. It's kind of secure, it's kind of safe, it's kind of no stress, you know, we like routine. And then you know what happens? Something, we've got things going, and it's like, but okay, but I know tomorrow that coffee will be right there, and I know when I come in, that's going to be, and I can touch those things, and it's, okay, it's good. And then God allows it all to be like, blah! It's like, who's this person? Oh, they're the new, but I was used to this person. I was used to this situation. Well, this is new, they're going to, Oh no. And I mean, all other kind of things change, right? And you and I are sitting there thinking, Lord, but it was, come on, this is our thinking, huh? Help us, Lord, help us. But Lord, I liked this. This gave me no stress. And Lord, I was happy with this. This was good. And Lord, well, who is it? Whose standard are you put? Well, Lord, me. This made my life easier. Who's it about, though? That's a hard one, huh? It is a hard one, y'all. We don't like that. Because we're like, Lord, this was okay. I could deal with this. I was like, no, I know you can deal with that. That's all fine for you. But I've got something for my honor, my glory. You got to transition with this. Remember, all things work together. This don't seem good to you, but it's going to work together for good, for my glory, and for your benefit ultimately. You got to remember that. There's a purpose if you know the Lord. God brings those things to us. Look, real quick, what's the third condition that got remedied? That of filling the emptiness. God filled the earth with plants. He filled it with trees. He filled it with people. He filled it with animals. Listen, God fills us with himself and with his spirit. Go to Ephesians 1 real quick. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know what's the condition of all of us till we come to Christ? We're in darkness, we have no structure, no order, and we're empty. When you come to Jesus Christ, you get light, you get purpose, and you get filled. You get someone who said they'd never leave you nor forsake you. We have his spirit, we have his presence within us. All those conditions get remedied in Jesus Christ. Every one of them. Now, notice again, all this was done by Jesus Christ, by the power of his word and spirit. Go to Ephesians 3, real quick. Your children need to know that Jesus Christ is creator, that he's God. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. How did God create all things? By Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the creator. God the Father created all things by Jesus Christ. He brought all things into existence. Go to Colossians 1 real quick. Colossians 1, verse 16. Colossians, well, we'll go to verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him. Now, the last thing I want you to see, go back to Psalm 24. I want you to see this. Psalm 24. Last thing I want you to notice. I think it's kind of interesting. Psalm 24. Look at verse number 2 again. Well, verse number 1. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Established the earth and the world upon the seas and the floods. That's waters. Notice, he established, he fixed, he set, he has founded something upon waters, upon floods, upon the seas and the floods. Think about that. Listen to this. The Lord uses seas and floods to build and establish. The Lord uses seas and floods to build and establish. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Lord, I'm so wishy-washy. I need some stability in my life. Lord, I need some wishy-washy. I'm so up and down. God, I need some firmness. I need some structure in my life. I need some to be established. So look for God to send some waters. Look for God to send some waters, some floods. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Listen, God's going to send waters to help us. He's going to see you through it. You're going to be fine. He's going to be there with you if you just don't panic. You ever seen a young'un in water? Stand up. You ever see a child like that? And you think, and you're like, stand up. You're okay. And they feel, you know, but they think they're you know, how often, huh? Are we in a situation? We're like, Lord, I'm drowning. God, I'm drowning. Lord, help me. It's like, stand up. Or take my hand. It's just okay. It's okay. Brother, he uses those things. He uses those things. And you'll be fine if you just won't panic. Lord, help us. Take your Bible. Go to Song of Solomon 8. Brethren, the Lord wants you and I to grow strong in Him. And He wants to build our faith. Now, listen. A newborn or a young child. You know, the other day, mind if I use Lila a minute? The other day, Lila and Ethan was up there. And I was walking, you know, and I had him by the hand. Because we was up there, you know, and had him by the hand. You know, we was walking and had him by the hand, all right? That's good and fine. But you know something? Mind if I bark Kevin a minute?
Go ahead.
Come here, Kevin. Come on, buddy. Kevin, now we got to watch these rocks here. All right, you stay right close to Papa Pastor. All right? Kevin, be careful. I'm sorry, Johnny B. So that looked kind of ludicrous. Maybe it didn't. No, but that looks kind of ludicrous, all right? Well, think about it, brother. When we get first saved, all right, Lord takes us by the hand so often because we need it. But, brethren, the Lord, after we've been saved for a while, does not want to keep having to hold our hand. Now, don't listen, there are times, even with Peter, but He wants to see us by faith. Not saying, God, I got this. No. Oh, Lord, you're directing me here. I trust you. You see what I'm saying? It's not a thing of like, I got this. No, not that. It's where He's letting go and saying, I want you to walk out in this. I want you to. It's pleasing to Him. It's pleasing to Him. He wants to grow our faith. All right? And there'll be sometimes, brethren, we're going to panic. And He's right there. He caught Peter. Gave him a little gentle rebuke over his lack of faith. But God wants us to grow. Those kind of things. And our faith to grow. Take your Bible, Song of Solomon 8, look at verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned. Listen, God will allow waters and floods to establish you. But it doesn't mean He didn't love you. It's because He loves you. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Take your Bible, it's a couple more verses. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8. Isn't that something? Establishing the earth and the world upon floods, upon seas. That's kind of fluid. That kind of little give there. Look here, Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 38. Romans 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And final thing, 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. Verse 10. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus, by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Lord, I need some settling out of my life. God, I'm just so up and down. Well, the answer most likely will be some suffering in some kind of way. Now, when that suffering comes, the devil says, ha, God didn't hear your prayer. Why is he letting this happen to you? Because he did hear the prayer. God establishes us by storms and floods, by sufferings, according to his word. Look what it says. After ye have suffered a while, establish, strengthen, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Lord, I need to be settled. Lord, heard your prayer. And he's probably going to allow some suffering in some manner, in some form, to provide that settling out and that establishment and that perfecting. That's how he does it. Brethren, God has no interest in making robots. That's what we want. Lord, just twist the switch, go boop, and make me right. That's what we would like. God's not interested in that. He's not interested in programming a robot. He has the angels to do just bidding if he wanted something. No, he wants a people that choose to love him back and choose to willingly yield to him, trust him, take him at his word, and work in their lives to mold and make them as they keep going, don't quit, and rest upon his word and promises by faith. That's his desire. That's what he wants to see. And so look, he'll use those things to establish us. You know something else? Founded upon the seas and floods. You know, think about that. That's like the Word of God. It's deep. It's deep enough. Listen, if you need some depth, you ain't going to mind the depths of that thing. It'll always be as deep as you need to go and want to go. And you know what? It's deep enough and it's flexible enough to handle any situation and circumstance. I can tell you that right now. That book right there is amazing, and it is deep enough and it is flexible enough to handle any situation that arises. If you'll trust God and go to his word, you'll find the answer there. So look here, closing up Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. We found it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Well, has the Lord established and founded you? Those three conditions that the world was in darkness, without order, and empty, has he remedied them in your life by Jesus Christ? That's how he remedied them, by Jesus Christ. Has he remedied that in your life? Has he brought you to light? Do you have light? Has he brought order to your life? Has he filled you? Has he done that in your life by Jesus Christ? Have you been desiring him to, do you see a need, some things in your life? Well, he may be going to meet that thing by some suffering, to establish you, perfect you, strengthen, settle you. The essential thing is that you don't quit. You don't quit. Go to God. Go to his word. Trust him. Have faith in what he said. Believe him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you'll, Father, help us to take what we've looked at tonight. Help us to chew on it. Help us to extract more from these passages of Scripture. Lord, help us to see it and know how to apply these things to our lives. Guide us, Lord. Direct us. Help us. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name and please forsake. And, oh, Father, I pray, if there's anyone here, Lord, listening or on recording, here or listening on recording, Father, that's never come to your light being Jesus Christ, never had you remedy that situation, Lord, of darkness and emptiness and lack of order, if they've never, Lord, allowed you to remedy that in their life by Jesus Christ, I pray that they would quickly, Lord, do so. Lord, because if they're in darkness, they're liable to think, Lord, they're drinking a jug of water, and it'd be a jug of poison because they can't see to discern. Lord, help them to understand this and grasp hold on it. And we ask this, Lord Jesus' name, and please, for his sake. Amen.